Today's episode of the Hash Rate Podcast is brought to you by Luxor Technology, North America's largest mining pool. Luxor's goal is to operate enterprise-class mining pools with professionalism and an intense customer focus. They provide a top-notch user experience and have a great selection of pools for you to mine to, from a variety of notable altcoins to Big Daddy Bitcoin, for which they launched their mining pool in October, so be sure to go and check them out. We are incredibly grateful that Luxor has chosen to sponsor this show going into 2020. We would love it if you, as listeners, would support the show by supporting them. You can find them online at luxor.tech and give them a follow on Twitter at Luxor Tech Team. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into the Hash Rate Podcast, the best crypto mining podcast in the history of the world. On today's episode, we discuss previous generation ASICs and where we feel they will go once the halving occurs. There are a lot of these machines floating around out there, approximately 40 to 50% of Bitcoin's hash rate, depending on the source that you cite. And we've got some theories as to where all of that hardware is going to go once it's no longer able to mine profitably on Bitcoin. So we hope you enjoy this episode. As always, if you do, please leave us a rating and review on your preferred listening platform. We truly appreciate your guys' continued support. And as always, today's episode of the Hashrate Podcast is presented to you by Hashrate OS. Hashrate OS is a Linux-based operating system designed to help you increase the efficiency of your mining machines and maximize your overall profitability. Now with ASIC and GPU support, Hashrate OS provides the best experience in crypto mining, allowing you to manage your facility fully from any mobile device and take complete control of your mining operations. Hashrate OS is mining as it should be. Be sure to head over and check out the Hashrate operating system at os.hashrate.com. Again, that's os.hashr8.com. All right, without further ado, on to the show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Hashrate Podcast. I'm the Bitcoin Broski here today with Crypto Chris Walken, Whale Bear Man, and Mean Hash. Gentlemen, what's going on?
I'm doing subpar. I just got a little coronavirus scare.
Whale Bear Man's alley cake is coming out of his asshole right now.
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty gross.
It's not coronavirus. You're okay. You're going to live.
I know, but I'm freaking out because that's all I see all the time now. I need to go in, but then I'm like, what if they like quarantine me? And then I'm fucked.
What if you go
in? Stuck in a long.
Yeah, what if you go
get quarantined.
Quarantined, stuck in a long, get liquidated.
Bags that needs to make filtration masks and sell them.
You should avoid the liquidated jokes around Connor right now. Not funny.
Ba-boom.
I'm not short, brother. I know a few people who are, though.
It's not a good time to be betting against Bitcoin. Everyone that said that the halving's priced in is about to get shat on.
Riggedy, riggedy, wrecked.
Okay, speaking of wrecked, I know we got a couple of rants that we want to go on, but I'm going to start. Before the show, we were talking about how Walken got blindsided on Nice Podcast because it's just turned into a shameless tool for self-promotion. And I was thinking about this yesterday because there's a crypto mining podcast. They kept advertising that they were going to have John McAfee on. We're going to have on John McAfee. John McAfee's going to be on the show. Tune in for our live stream with John McAfee. It took everything in my power not to tweet at them to say, what the fuck does John McAfee have to do with mining? Why put John McAfee on the show? And then I realized all getting McAfee on a podcast is nowadays is it's the same as buying followers. That's all you're doing. You don't really give a shit what the guy's going to say. He doesn't really add any value to the space. All you're doing is getting him on the show so that you can get some views, you can get some likes, you can potentially get some followers. And I mean, for that, just fucking buy the followers. Like, everyone knows, to me, from what I see, is none of these people actually care about crypto. They just want to fucking extract as much capital from the situation as they possibly can. And they don't care who's along for the ride. I mean, you invite John McAfee on the show, you don't care what's going to be said. There needs to be such a purge from all of these fucking charlatans and the people who are doing things that they just have no business doing. That goes for podcasts and service providers and conference hosts, people throwing mining conferences that couldn't fucking tell you the first thing about mining. And they're just looking to get as many people into a building as they can so they can extract as much revenue as possible. It's shameless. People are absolutely fucking shameless now. Well, like the same thing with CoinMine. They feel that their target is stupid, so they treat them like they're stupid. It's fucking annoying to watch, is all I gotta say. It is fucking annoying to watch. Like, seeing this over and over again, there's no wonder that no one takes crypto seriously. Like, we don't take ourselves seriously. We've bought into this idea that, like, we can't say what we truly think about what people are doing is bullshit. The space is full of people who are fucking idiots, and we're allowing that to continue to perpetuate because no one wants to stand up and say, your product sucks, what you're doing doesn't work, you've raised a bunch of money for nothing, you're scamming people as much as you can, and you should get the fuck out. But nobody wants to say that. Everyone wants to tiptoe around the subject because they think that if they say that, they're going to get blacklisted, or, oh no, a big VC has invested in this company, and we shouldn't talk shit about them. Luke, we really need to focus on self-policing. Like, self-policing needs to become a real thing and not just trolling people on Twitter. People need to go out of business. Companies have to stop being supported. Their tweets have to stop being like, people like Carbon Based are, I think, a great value add to the space because they call people on their bullshit, but nothing ever really comes from it yet because the space isn't mature enough. So anyways, ran over.
I'm going to let Walken segue.
I just wanted to clap because I'm with you 100% on that bullshit.
I haven't listened to the Nye episode yet, but I'll have to go back and listen to it after this. Did you guys see that somebody posted a list of all the crypto podcasts? I think it was Carbon Based that posted that. A lot of them that they posted are dead, right? Like, they posted Crypto Sky. I read that. A little piece of me was like, RIP Sky.
I missed that guy. That was my first podcast I ever did.
Mine too. That was the last show that he recorded. I always wondered, maybe I forced him out of podcasting. Like, maybe my interview was the one that was just like, he was like, fuck this, I'm done. I quit. It never got released. He like recorded it with me and then like the next day he was gone. Man, if you're a straight guy and you date a woman and then her next relationship is with a woman, she's a lesbian now, is it your fault? Did I do that to Sky? Did he quit podcasting because of me?
Well, I heard he went to college.
I was going to say, did you turn him into a lesbian?
All right. So first off, I'm actually getting a little bit more excited because there seems to be a little bit more attention on mining again. Profits coming up and market going up and all that, because I'm getting a lot of DMs from people that are starting to get interested again. My Discord's actually going up again. I think we're nearing 3,000 people finally. Anyway, my one gripe that I have is that I've started getting DMs from people that try to flex or are self-entitled. Some dude DM me. Basically, he wanted to help get set up with a mining rig, how to do it, and he put in there, I'm a hardware engineer, so I'm good on the hardware side. Today, which we've had people jump in the Discord before and do things like this, but this guy came in at first. He wanted help. So myself, Claude, a couple other people started trying to help him. And then he started turning it into basically, well, what's my time worth? And then we're like, what do you mean? So then he starts flexing. Oh, you know, I have a PhD, money, stuff like that. He starts going on. He's talking about these pre-built rigs. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Shark Miners that are like four times the price of what you can build on your own. And we started trying to explain to him ROI and like, your own is better. And also the fact that if you build a rig on your own, you can actually troubleshoot it. Because I told him straight up, I'm like, so if you buy a pre-built rig and you have no support, you know, you're talking about what your time is worth. You're going to come in my Discord and ask us to troubleshoot for you. What's our time worth? Here's my thing to people. If you want to get into mining, you have a few options. One, you actually do the research, you build it on your own, you learn how to do it so that way you're actually a profitable miner. Two, if you have money and you're trying to flex or whatever, pay someone else to build the shit for you and run it for you at a farm, then you don't have to worry about it. Or three, buy crypto because mining isn't for you. So that's just my little plug, because I have a feeling that the market's going to keep going up and we're going to get a new batch of FOMO miners that want to come in, and they're probably going to start asking about pre-builts and coin mine and all that. So
I have a personal story on that one, because that was where I looked at first too. In 2018, started paying attention to mining just as the trading hype was dying down, just as a way to kind of diversify. So Raven was out. I wanted to mine Raven. I started looking at, you know, how could I do that? So I was looking around at pre-built rigs, and I almost bought a 6-card 1080 Ti rig pre-built for like $5,500. It would have been terrible. Like, it would have been absolutely the worst purchase ever. I don't know if it was in the Discord or who told me that I was being an idiot and stopped me from buying it. But convenience. I mean, I'm there negotiating with someone over the price of that pre-built rig. Like, $200 mattered. And the fact is, whether I paid $5,000 for it or $4,500 for it, it never would have ROI'd. Hopefully, we're able to reach more people if there is another round of FOMO miners. But as long as there's people, there's going to be people that don't do enough research. It's just going to be an inevitable thing. But I guess it's all part of the cycle, right? Like, those people are going to feed into the next round of capitulation that allows the people who are actually doing what they're supposed to do to buy cheap hardware.
Yeah, every time.
So what did this guy end up doing? Is he building his own rig? Is he paying somebody else?
He just said that he'll come back later.
He's gonna buy the prefab rig for sure.
Most likely. We'll see him in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. 10 grand for an 8-card Radeon V2 rig.
Yep.
Radeon. That's ridiculous. Yep. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If anybody wants a rig pre-built like that, like, seriously, shoot me a DM. I'll build you one for $7,500.
Dude, shout out to the 74-year-old that's starting to mine in our Discord.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
What a stud. I want to get him on the podcast.
I mean, it's kind of the perfect retirement activity, especially if you're somebody that, like, at 74 years old, who knows what kind of IT background he could have had. But, you know, like 20 years ago, he could have been doing computer stuff. It probably might not be that big of a stretch for him. And I mean, when you're retired, if you have disposable income and you're looking for a hobby, you know, like a lot of retired people, they get into hobbies where they just piss money away. But if you're just going to build mining rigs, at least you're making money off of what you're doing. So,
or like better than the Walmart door greeter.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how these ASIC companies and hardware companies react to the next cycle, because we're above the large hump now where if you're an ASIC manufacturer, you know, you have your new generations coming out and most likely already have your prototype for the next generation. If you look at gains, as far as hash rate goes, like they were pretty significant from, you know, 14 terahashes to what is it, like 70, 75?
Yeah, yep. 81 now with the overclocking.
Because they can't just like make something that's too similar to the last one or no one's going to rotate over.
Well, they will. It just has to be enough of an increase. I mean, if they try to go 6x the terahash like they did with this last, I think that it's a poor business strategy. You know, if you're a new ASIC manufacturing, you can do that, and that's fine. If you're a Bitmain, you're not going to give any real shelf life to your product. If, let's say, you've got the 7 nanometer and then the 5 nanometer comes out like 6 months later, no one's going to be able to ROI those in time to rotate. So you're either going to...
It depends on the market, I guess, at that point.
For sure. Right? Well, like, yeah, Bitmain, I guess at current prices. Yeah.
Bitmain's probably hoping for a pump post-halving, because then they can probably 2x the price of their freaking S17s. And make a ton more money, because you're going to have a bunch of more people come in and FOMO in and wanting to build farms.
What are they right now? Like 3,000 to 4,000?
Something like that.
For what? The S17s?
Yeah. The S9s were going for like $90 used in December. And then around March, April, they were $450 again.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, like what?
And so now you get them for free.
Yeah. So the S17 plus 70 terahash is $1,655 directly from Antminer store. When we had Ramak on, he was talking about this. You know, a lot of the people right now, especially in China, they're buying these or they've already bought them in anticipation of flipping them for ROI. Yep. So they're mining with them now, but they're not really as concerned about whether or not they'll ROI in 2 years, because they'll be able to dump them on new miners in another 6 months for 3 or 4 times the price, which will, of course, provide the return on their investment. So the hardware bubble, as you were saying, Will Bearman, is a very real thing and something that we're going to see, especially if Bitcoin's price keeps climbing. I mean, once we cross 10K, all bets are off. Shit's going to get wacky.
It's that's like 15K.
If you remember, like in the spring of last year, we were pricing stuff out and then it crossed 10K and shit just went weird. After it crossed 10K, it's like people realized that this was a valid asset class. It's like they weren't paying any attention to it. And then 10K hit and everyone's like, oh, I should start mining.
Yeah.
We were seeing the prices increase. I mean, literally 30% week to week. You know, we got a quote and then the next week it was like, oh yeah, that quote we can't honor anymore. It's 30% higher. And then we'd price that out, get it to the client, and then they come back the next week, be like, it's up 30% again.
Let's just wait again. Oh, you know? It's up again.
Yeah, dude, how annoying.
Now it's back down and you don't hear from them.
I wonder what happened with that. I wonder if they built that facility in Brazil. My guess is no.
No.
I guess it's no. But MeanHash, one thing that you'll find interesting, somebody reached out to me on Telegram and asked if I knew anyone that was selling S9s. And when I said how many, they're like, just let us know pricing on anyone that's got 5,000 or more.
Jesus. Or they got free power.
No, somebody's getting ready to do what MeanHash has been talking about for the last 10 to 15 episodes.
Yep.
They're basically going to buy free S9s and then they're going to run them for a week. And the power loss on that won't mean anything, because they'll make it back and double spend no problem. Like right now, from a miner perspective, especially if you had a big Bitcoin farm and you had S9s and you can't get rid of them right now, it's almost a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah, because right now it seems like pricing on an order that big is around $60 plus shipping. So if you 51% attack any of the other SHA 256 coins, I mean, you make that back really, really fast.
You can make it back in a couple of days.
Yeah. The halving is going to absolutely wreck a lot of people.
Yeah, and I would guess that Bitcoin's hash rate is going to drop 30% minimum, if not 40, after the halving.
Got to be some correction for sure.
Yeah. Granted, it's not going to be as bad as Litecoin, because we talked about before Litecoin was because they didn't have any new hardware. Bitcoin's got new hardware, but still, there's going to be a lot of S9s going offline. There's going to be a huge drop in hash rate.
S9s make up 50% of the network, right?
Yeah.
I think there'll be some S9s that go offline. I think that a big part of why you're seeing some of the other SHA-256 coins pump right now is because people are switching them over. I mean, it looks to me like if you look at BCH and BSV, people started turning S9s onto them like the second week of January. And that's because they can still run them profitably on that. It's really the only thing that they can run them profitably on right now, probably. The question is that, again, are they vulnerable for a 51% attack? Or are people who have cheap power right now that are still mining Bitcoin on S9s, when the halving happens, they switch them over to BCH or BSV? They're going to be just doing it for profit. You know, they're not going to care about the coin pumping. They're going to drop the price as low as they can to force all these other people that are mining those out. You know, like, mining's a business. People that get into that stuff, they're trying to make as much profit as they can. If they got old, worthless hardware and they think that they can flip it over to another coin and mine it and then just dump those coins as fast as they can to get more Bitcoin or to cover their cost of the new hardware they just bought, they're just going to pillage every other SHA-56 coin. They're going to go after every single one.
Pillage is the right word.
It's no different than when you see secret ASICs or FPGAs hit smaller cap GPU mineable coin. What do? They start selling it immediately. They mine as much as they can and they sell as much as they can while the price goes down because they don't care about the project. They're just trying to ROI and make money. And so, you know, the same thing's going to happen. You're about to have the largest swath of hardware ever that was built for mining Bitcoin have to try and find a new home. It's going to be brutal. I would not want to be a project on that algorithm right now or any other algorithm that those ASICs could mine. If I was a part of one of those projects right now, I'd be looking to fork and try and get to a different algorithm before the halving happens. I mean, the Kaboom Racks guy right now has a listing in his for 10,000 S9s up for sale, price not listed, because they're basically just trying to get rid of them. Whatever offer they get, they will take it. You know, like, when you have that kind of hardware stuff going on, if they can find a way to make money off of it by mining other coins and instantly flipping them for Bitcoin, they will. So, you know, my guess is it'll be one of those things that nobody's able to see coming, or at least people that aren't in mining aren't, because you'll see like the Bitcoin Cash and the Bitcoin SV hash rates start to climb a whole bunch, probably from now until the halving. And you'll see the first spend coins on those projects through the roof. And the other day when BCH was pumping, it was like 295%. like literally, like, you know, three times the amount being traded on exchanges. God, by everybody else was just people that were pillaging that network and selling the coins.
If Bytree could add that, if they could add more coins, that would be an amazing indicator of a quality project. Like, it's really clear to point out which projects are total shit that no one wants to hold and which ones are looked at as a more sustainable play. Do they have shit coins on there as well?
They have Dash and Litecoin and then the Bitcoin forks. They're going to add more. They have like 15 coins that they're working on right now. They're basically starting with mineable coins on CoinMarketCap and just going down the list. So, you know, they'll start
for Raven, you know, that would be interesting.
Yeah, they'll start hitting all those projects, my guess, in the next year. And it's going to be real interesting to see because, you know, especially when there's forks and things, you'll be able to see instantly, like, you know, you fork off a bunch of ASICs, just like with Raven. You know, they instituted that new algorithm and it got rid of the ASICs and FPGAs for like 3 months. And the price shot up a whole bunch. The hash rate dropped a whole bunch, which is like totally not how it normally works. Normally, hash rate chases after price, but they were basically inverse correlated. And then when the ASICs started coming back on again, it dropped all the way right back down to where it was. You know, like, it's totally easy to see if you're in the mining community about how those type of miners are affecting the price. And I mean, SHA-256 coins right now, they're at risk. If I was somebody who was holding a large quantity of any of them, I'd be getting rid of them in the next 3 months because they're going to get pillaged so hard. Everybody talks about, oh, it's the hash war that happened between those two. Compared to the rest of the hash that's on Bitcoin, the hash war that happened between the Bitcoin forks is a joke. There's farms that have more hash rate than what all of the network on BSV has that are mining Bitcoin right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, a fraction of the S9s that are on Bitcoin could easily decimate BSV or BCH's hash. Going back to the first spend analysis, though, one thing that would be cool to see is, you know, when a new coin launches, what the first spend looks like. Like, let's say it is a quote unquote fair launch, no dev fee, no pre-mine, none of that stuff, to see how many coins dump in the first, you know, day or two of mining. So, oh yeah, we haven't done the ASMR segment of today's show.
This is...
Do you want to go to the bathroom and do some ASMR?
No. What was that? You got any guesses?
Was it one of those, like, those wooden rain sticks?
No.
It sounded like some change in a jar or some jelly beans in a jar.
It was a Coca-Cola glass filled with Sprite and Pedialyte and ice. Good try.
Sprite and Pedialyte. God.
I'm trying to get my fluids back to normal, dude. It's been a rough couple of days.
So speaking of that, Pedialyte is actually the unofficial sponsor of the show tonight. Yes. Pedialyte is the perfect beverage to mix with sugar-free Sprite after you eat some cake in an alley and end up in the bathroom for 4 days.
Yeah.
It's probably the fish.
Yeah, I'm going with the fish.
What kind of fish did you eat?
Well, we had like raw tuna and I don't even know what other shit we were eating, but we were trying a lot of stuff I normally don't try. Dude, something just hit both. I mean, me first. So I eat a lot more than Olivia eats, but it hit me first. And then all of a sudden, like late last night, she was like, the same thing was happening. And I was like, I told you it wasn't me just being fucking an idiot. Like, we have something. Like, it's not normal. She really didn't, like, hear me until tonight in the bathroom, but she heard me tonight in the bathroom. She was like, okay, this is bad.
Do you have, like, dueling bathrooms where one of you's in one?
She has her own bathroom.
And you guys are, like, on the phone with each other? Like, is it bad for you as it is for me?
No, she was in the master room. And then I always go to the master room because it has the squatty potty. I love using the squatty potty. If you don't have a squatty potty, get one. The squatty potty is only in master bedroom, which is more like my bathroom, but she was laying in bed and I was like, hey, sorry, got to do this. So she's just laying in bed and I'm just going loud.
Dumb and Dumber style.
That's exactly what it reminded me of. So it's everywhere.
We're going to have a segment called Will Bearman Shits.
It's just, I don't like talking about it, but when it was something like
two episodes in a row,
dude, yeah, it was bad. It's not fully healed, but I haven't shit myself today, so.
We're going one day at a time. Yeah. Taking it one day
since last incident.
On the next episode, Connor eats gas station sushi.
I have the misfortune of having to fly to New York in 7 days, which by then is going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure that the world is going to come to an end before then. So yesterday I got my travel masks in the mail and didn't think about this when I was ordering them, but where does everything on Amazon come from? So literally the package gets opened when I dump out the Amazon package onto the table. It comes out, everything is in Chinese, everything. The lettering on the outside of the package, the pictures and descriptions on the back of the package. And I've never seen a group of people step away from something so fast in my entire fucking life. Like it hits the table and literally everyone, there's three of us that are standing around just talking. I dump it out, the conversation stops, everyone backs away. I'm like,
I would have made sure to get an American mask or something like that. You know, because there's actually a huge demand for masks right now and there's people selling fake masks.
I ordered them well before the hype. It took me like 2 weeks to get here, but still, they all went right on the washing machine. It's a weird time. I don't know how I feel about traveling. You know, I know there's less than a 2% chance of contracting there's less than that of contracting.
No, contracting it's high. It's actually dying from it. It's super low.
Yeah.
If you're healthy, if you're not healthy or young, then that's when it could be bad for you.
Right.
Is not fun to get because it's like basically like the flu.
Yeah, the flu sucks. Maybe the key is to just drink heavily.
Probably.
To get just completely annihilated.
That's probably do it.
Or just build up immunity. Like I'll walk through the airport just like licking rails and stuff.
Self-sterilization.
Hey,
get your blood alcohol content high enough that nothing can survive in it.
Nothing sticks. All right, well, to the listeners, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We will we'll talk to everyone again very soon. Thanks for tuning into the Hash Rate Podcast. We appreciate your continued support. Please do us a favor and leave us a rating and review on your preferred listening platform. And head over to Twitter and give us a follow at Hash Rate. That's at H4SHR8.